If you want all the dirty details for how the Micah Parsons trade went down, well, you're in luck. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, because now it's all coming out in the wash, Pearl. Every side trying to get out what they believe is the best version of the truth, trying to point the blame and point fingers at the person across the table from them. Bottom line is, Micah Parsons is gone from the Cowboys. He's with the Green Bay Packers. And to me, this is going to be a shadow and a cloud that hangs over the Dallas Cowboys for this season and hopefully not beyond this season. But if the Green Bay Packers go on to win the Super Bowl, which is going to be tough, but they were already one of the teams that people were high on. They're young. They're up and coming. I think people believe they have a good coach and quarterback. Then this is an all-timer. This is the exact opposite of the Herschel Walker trade, right? The Herschel Walker trade built up the Cowboys into a dynasty. If you hand Micah Parsons the finishing piece to the Green Bay Packers, you are forever a laughingstock.
Well, I mean, I disagree with that because Micah Parsons wasn't leading the Cowboys to anything. Like, well, where was that going?
Was that his fault or was that the Cowboys' fault?
Regardless, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it wasn't like they're trading away a piece that was going to get them over the top. Like, there is no, and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys are putting this narrative out. There was no path with Micah Parsons to lead this team to a Super Bowl. It just wasn't happening. So they have to rebuild and start over at some point. If they had paid Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons, like, there's just no way they're building a roster that's going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, but I ask you, is the reason for that Micah? Was he the weak link?
No,
if you're talking about all the top three guys who are getting paid, is you point to Micah Parsons as the reason why the Cowboys haven't been able to get back to the NFC Championship game?
No, it has nothing to do. Yeah, it's not his fault at all, but just that doesn't change the reality of the situation the Cowboys found themselves in this offseason. I mean, to be honest, if we had known the final number coming into this whole discussion about Micah Parsons, we would have said, Dallas, you should not sign him. That would have been the common take. That's just too much money. It is.
I don't.
It's huge. $46 million? Like, we were shocked when Myles Garrett got $40 million. That's Myles Garrett.
Well, because the Cleveland Browns may be careening towards the number one pick, and they are not paying a quarterback. Like, right now, I think for Dallas, you're sending every signal to your fan base. We have the highest paid quarterback in the league. We have the highest paid receiver. By all indications, you should be going for it. This is the Browns are going for, just hoping to avoid embarrassment. You know, the Cowboys fancy themselves in a different station in the NFL than the Browns do.
But I think it'd be unrealistic if the Cowboys said they were all in and thought they were going to win a Super Bowl with this roster. I don't think that would be the right expectation for this team from the front office perspective.
Yeah, to me, they did not seem to be getting any closer to Super Bowl. In fact, it's the opposite. The Green Bay Packers are now closer to Super Bowl. And much like what happened last year with the New York Giants, not to pick on them, but Saquon Barkley leaves, goes to the Philadelphia Eagles, and what happens? He leads them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It goes down as one of the all-time blunders in the history of New York Giants football.
Yeah, but in 5 years, are you sure we're going to view it that way? Because let's face it, they got two pretty good draft picks this year. Like, they actually might have found a way out of this. So I'm not sure that story's been totally written, too. Just because Saquon was awesome with the Eagles, what was he going to do with the Giants last year? What, lead him to 7-10?
Again, like, but that's the Giants' fault, right? Like, the Giants, right. Not one player's fault that the team they left, you know, didn't either know how to build the team around them or had missed on so many other draft picks, including quarterback, that they found themselves in this bad spot. Now I'm talking about the Giants. That's not Saquon Barkley's fault, right? To the victor goes the spoils. Like, you are the Philadelphia Eagles. You get that championship forever. No one ever takes that from you, and you look like geniuses because you paid all the people you needed to pay and found a way to fit in Saquon.
Right, but this specific decision on Saquon Barkley with the Giants looks worse because the Eagles won a Super Bowl, but the reality is they might have found a way out. And if they had kept Saquon, who knows what happens? They certainly don't go to the Super Bowl with Saquon last year. I mean, who was their quarterback last year? Daniel Jones.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But, yeah, like, but find a way out. Like, they let him go for nothing.
My point is, like, all the past mistakes are still there. You can't judge. Just because they screwed up 9 other things doesn't mean they should have kept and paid Saquon. Like, maybe it was the best deal at the time. And I got to tell you, because people are excited about the Giants. Like, they might have something in Jackson Dart. That guy looked like a beast in the preseason. So in 5 years, if they're competing for a Super Bowl, nobody's going to care about Saquon not being there. Because the reality is a running back was not leading them anywhere.
I think you're underestimating what it would feel like for a Cowboy fan if the Packers win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think you're putting yourself properly in their shoes of you think that, you know, Jerry can put lipstick on this pig any way that he wants to. He can tell you that this was the plan from the spring. It was not. He thought he had a deal done with Michael Parsons. This is all just after the fact trying to explain it. If the Green Bay Packers even go to the NFC Championship game, I don't even think they need to win the Super Bowl, but let's just say worst case scenario for a Cowboy fan, this is an all-timer.
Yeah, but
the
reality is the Cowboys fans then want it both ways, because most of them that I talk to want to rebuild. Like, they're like, what are we doing? We're just on this path to, at best, 12-5. Nobody thinks the current regime is headed towards the Super Bowl. So everyone's like, let's pull the Band-Aid and start over. This move helps them do that. The reality is, hey, if in 5 years, you're going to look back at this and say, this is the beginning of the end for Dak Prescott, probably a good deal. This is the beginning of the end for CeeDee Lamb. Like, they're going to start over. And they should. They should rebuild.
The extension for Dak Prescott kicks in now. It hasn't even started yet.
I think they get out of 2 years, right?
This is the $60 million a year. Like, you're in the window where you're paying at the top of the market for a quarterback, where there's no signal of rebuild.
No, they got it.
The only thing is Micah, and it doesn't make sense on their timeline.
No, but they can, once they're out of Dak, out of this deal.
Right, like, then they get a rookie quarterback, presumably who's cheap, and Micah Parsons is getting paid, and that's how you balance things out.
I don't know. I'm not sure that timeline would have really worked, because the Micah money is so huge. I think you have two more years of Dak. And then, let's face it, like, it's time to do something different in Dallas. Like, this current core is not working.
Okay, that's fine. That's all well and good. I'm just saying I would not have picked Micah as the odd man out there.
Because he's young. You would have kept him.
He's 26 years old. He's a fantastic pass rusher. There's a reason why this trade was stunning.
Totally.
Teams don't get rid of guys like this.
Yeah, no, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I would not have traded him if I was Dallas. But the reality is, like, you gotta start thinking radically there. I don't blame him for that. Like, I would get rid of Dak. I would probably get rid of CD. I would get rid of, like, start over, get draft picks, build around a rookie quarterback. The problem is Jerry Jones is 83. I'm not sure how long he wants the rebuild to take.
So you're welcome to weigh in on this. 888-710-4ISN. Is the Micah Parsons trade going to be a shadow that lingers over the Cowboys all season long? We also got into another topic today, which is, who is the toughest person on the baseball diamond? Like, the one position you would not want to get into a fight with. Perloff thinks it's no doubt catchers.
Yes.
Toughest guys on the team. Clearly the position is like the most physically taxing.
Grueling. Also, they're low and strong, and they're like rocks, those guys.
Lower body strength.
Yeah. They have, I'm looking at a lot of pictures of catchers. They're all pretty big.
So I think it's pitchers, because I think pitchers are psychos. And you're talking about lower body strength, and where does the power really come from? The derriere.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no skinny catchers ever. There's tons of skinny pitchers. So your guy,
Benito Santiago, weighed like 110 pounds.
What's that?
Benito Santiago weighed like 110 pounds soaking wet.
Hi, Booger.
Yogi Berra is one of the strongest human beings I've ever met
in
my
life. But he's smaller, right?
But he's not skinny. You said skinny. I mean, he's the opposite of skinny. Yogi Berra could beat up anybody. I'm telling you, if Yogi Berra was my representative, he would have beaten Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, and Lou Gehrig up so easily.
How about pre-steroids Pudge Rodriguez? Very skinny. I'm just saying.
Pre-steroids,
I think that pitchers, to me, the psychotic nature, catchers have to be a lot more stable. You know, this is why catchers make good managers. Pitchers are just insane.
Yeah. But, I mean, listen, Zach Wheeler's not beating up anybody. There are a lot of skinny pitchers.
JT
Realmuto is a beast.
But
he's
a
beast of a man.
But he's not fat and pudgy.
No, but he's the opposite of skinny. That guy's one giant muscle.
Zach Wheeler's in shape, too.
He would kill Zach Wheeler.
Taijuan Walker beat the you-know-what out of JT Realmuto.
Did he really?
He would. He could.
Oh, I thought you said he did. Okay.
No. But he could.
There's not a JT Realmuto. Nobody would beat him in a fight. He's a man's man.
He's a man's man.
I see Bryce Harper.
Like, chopping wood.
Yeah. Like, Bryce Harper's doing all these shenanigans and these coconut drinks, and then you see JT Realmuto just says nothing, but he's just like, I am tough.
You think Realmuto could handle Kyle Schwarber?
I've been thinking about this a lot. Well, Schwarber. Yeah, I think you'd take Schwarber.
Is this the new what would fit, win a bear or a shark?
I think Realmuto could beat up anybody on the team.
1,000 men versus a gorilla.
Meanwhile, Okay, you can weigh in on this. Who would you least want to get into a fight with on a baseball diamond? Is it the pitcher? Is it the catcher? It's Wednesday. Let's get to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right, Pearl. NFL season kicking off tomorrow. The great debate today. Who is the biggest underachieving NFL team of all time? Now, you can take this a couple different ways, but as we're here on the eve of the season, the way that I took it, as a team people are excited for, a team that people wanted to, you know, see have success, who fell flat?
Yeah.
Who do you have?
Well, okay. I took it a little differently. We're talking about underachieving teams. So to me, the ultimate should have won was the 1986 Chicago Bears, because no team won a title more convincingly than the 85 Bears. So the fact that they came in the next season, they lost Buddy Ryan, which was not good, but they should have all the talented players. There's no reason at all that they should have not gone on to win another Super Bowl. But they, not only did they not win a Super Bowl, they lost their first playoff game, went 14-2, completely fell apart, had all this infighting, and took the most talented team and totally blew it.
What do you say about the year of the Chicago Bears? They had distractions. They had all kinds of problems. They had some big injuries.
This place looked like the deck of the Titanic. About the middle of the fourth quarter, as these fans began exiting Soldier Field, and then, of course, the straw that broke the camel's back when Lou Barnes fumbled down near the goal line, and then the sky literally around us, or I should say the fans around us, erupted. You could hear, I thought I was on the forecastle of a tramp steamer.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I win the great debate just based on how awesome that guy's voice was from 1986. That's how you do it, people. That was amazing.
Of a tramp steamer.
You know, and what also happened, which happened to Buddy Ryan and my Eagles, like Joe Gibbs was just a mastermind. You guys have no idea what it was like to go against that dude. Anyway, so I went with the 1986 Chicago Bears.
All right, we're asking who's the biggest underachieving NFL team of all time. I'm going to go a little more recent. I'm going to go with your 2021 Jacksonville Jags. If you guys will recall, this was Trevor Lawrence, maybe one of the most hyped college prospects ever, generational talent, the whole deal. Goes to Jacksonville. They win him. They decide to bring Urban Meyer in. What could go wrong? Well, everything. Started in the preseason, bringing questionable people into the building. They signed Tim Tebow as a tight end. I had forgotten about this until I looked it up. It had been 6 years since he had played in the NFL. He was cut after the first preseason game. Things got so much worse, including starting 0-5. After 0-4, a loss to the Cincinnati Bengals, you may remember Urban Meyer had to stay behind, not fly home with the team because he wanted to see his grandkids. Turns out he was hanging out with one young woman, probably young enough to be a grandchild. Turns out
somebody else's granddaughter.
It was someone else's granddaughter. She was blonde. She was pretty. She was very young. And she was basically giving Urban Meyer a lap dance in full view.
99 bananas.
His restaurant. There was one video that emerged. He had to apologize for it. Then a second video emerged. You guys will remember the second angle. Anyway, he called his assistant coaches losers. Trevor Lawrence's rookie season went into the toilet. He was sued for kicking his kicker along with the team. The entire thing lasted 11 months. It was a disaster.
I just apologize to the team and staff and for being a distraction, just stupid. And so I explained everything that happened and owned it and, you know, just stupid. Should not have myself in that kind of position.
Yep. So underachieving, we were all excited for Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer thought would be a slam dunk in the NFL. It was not.
Of a tramp steamer.
EJ, go ahead.
Okay, so the Cleveland Browns have a lot of disappointing teams, but I think when we think about maybe the team with the most hype that came the farthest or went the farthest away from matching that hype was the 2019 Cleveland Browns. You remember, this is after they traded for Odell Beckham to pair him with Juice Landry, two LSU receivers, along with Baker Mayfield, who's coming off a good rookie season after Freddie Kitchens took over and he became the permanent head coach. Things just didn't go right pretty much from the beginning.
The drama is just drama. It continues to be that on the outside. Within our walls, we know exactly what we have, and we have a good relationship where it's very straight to the point.
Here's a flag as, Mason Rudolph got
to get out of there.
Believe Myles Garrett. They'll be swinging a helmet.
Yeah, there'll be some ejections. Rudolph didn't like the way that he was tackled.
Oh, man.
I mean, Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham going back and forth. Odell wanted out. Baker wanted out. Or at least was trying to piecemeal that thing. Then it kind of culminated in the end of the season with the Myles Garrett helmet swing, cracking Mason Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. I mean, it was just a disastrous season. 5-11. No Super Bowl at all for a team that has Super Bowl expectations. Just an absolute disaster of a year for the Cleveland Browns. So they are my most underachieving team of all time.
The most underachieving NFL team. That's today's great debate. Manny Guapo, go ahead.
Speaking of bad franchises, imagine a team with young players by the name of Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Sauce Gardner. You go ahead and bring in a Super Bowl winning quarterback by the name of Aaron Rodgers. All of this documented on Hard Knocks. They look to snap their 12-year playoff drought. They ended up going 7-10 that season, same as last year. That was their 8th straight losing season. And I just opened up an article while I was doing some research, and let me just read you this headline. New York Jets 2023 NFL preview. They have Aaron Rodgers and a real hope to win the Super Bowl.
Protection breaks down and time runs out. Down goes Rodgers and the sack for Leonard Floyd. The former first round pick of the Bears, and now Rodgers sits down.
Hard to see. Of course, he had the calf issue in training camp, but here's a little better look as far as what might have happened for him to go back down to the ground.
And he's coming out of the game.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know, but he would end up tearing his Achilles or rupturing his Achilles, Aaron Rodgers. They didn't really win the Super Bowl, and the Jets still haven't made the playoffs. Super Bowl drought continues. Playoff drought continues. Under 500 playoff. Under 500.
All right, we get it.
Yeah.
Wow. We get it. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. And we got a documentary out of it. Enigma. All right, folks, take us home here. The most underachieving NFL team of all time.
I can't believe any of the four of you didn't do anything personal. None of your favorite teams involved in this exercise.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm going to break that stretch. This one's still hurts all these years later. They had just won my team, the NFC East. They earned their third straight trip to the postseason, and then they opened up their wallets. Final reinforcements. The Super Bowl was in reach. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Nnamdi Asamoah, Jason Babin, Ronnie Brown, and Vince Young.
Oh, dream team.
Or nightmare. The 2011 Philadelphia Eagles. We loved it. They had 10 players on that roster with a combined 25 Pro Bowls. They had 15-2 odds to win that Super Bowl, but instead they lost and lost and lost and lost. To good teams, to bad teams, it did not matter. At one point, they were 4-8. They did win their last four games to get to 500, but missed the playoffs. Andy Reid the next year, 4-12. He was out. Chip Kelly was in. Oh, I wish it was yesterday, but it was 14 years ago, the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles.
I thought you were setting them up to be 1-15. They ended up 8-8. I didn't even remember that.
Nobody does.
You oversold that like crazy, but they lost and lost and lost.
They did.
And then,
four
you know,
eight.
They were in the playoff
they
line.
They were 4-8.
I remembered it because of the Dream Team quote that team was like basically challenging the Browns and the Lions for 0-16. I mean, totally honest, I'd have like, they were 8-8.
I mean, with context, they were 2-14, basically.
Well, I mean, but did Nnamdi Asamoah come out a winner?
Yes.
He entered Kerry Washington.
Yes.
Well, I mean, on the scoreboard of life, he's ahead. But
I still
Eagles
like that signing. Yeah, I still like that signing because he is one of the most handsome NFL players of all time. So the logic was solid.
All right. There you go. 888-710-4ISN. Who is the biggest underachieving, or which is the most underachieving NFL team of all time?
I'm definitely winning this great debate, by the way.
You took it in a different direction. So.
You guys went with five teams that played in the last 5 years. Like, you were 2019, 2023, 2021.
Well,
like, it's impossible that all the disappointing seasons have happened in the last 5 years.
Well, sorry, Grandpa.
To be fair, our own Andrew Kaplan, Jeff, did mention in our text chain the 1964 Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, he'll win. He deserves it, too. I don't even know if they were disappointing. I voted for that guy.
Go, Pack, go! You'll always remember when Vince Lombardi square on the hot seat after an 8-5-1 season. He did bring up that Jerry Kramer in that year missed most of the season because of an intestinal condition. After multiple surgeries, it was rectified after sizable wood fragments from a teenage accident a dozen years earlier were removed. Wikipedia.
That's the only story that can be true before 1970. Yeah.
That like, would have happened MRI in 2025.
Yeah, but like a person having wood in their intestines and living for 20 years afterwards, that's like, oh, my great-great-grandfather, you know, he had wooden teeth and they had to pull it out because they realized it wasn't working anymore.
Yeah. Think about doing the first surgery and not finding the sizable wooden pieces in your intestine. How did he go to the bathroom?
It was 1963. They didn't exactly have, like, technology.
They were going to the moon. Wait, what year was the moon?
Well, they were building toward the moon.
It was close to the moon. Sorry.
Close enough.
They were conspiring to shoot JFK. I don't know.
Jerry Kramer, by the way, would have been a catcher if he played baseball. That dude was had catcher in all of them. That's the kind of thing catchers
catch some
do.
Wood.
Most MLB catchers have wood in their intestine.
Sorry. The moon landing was 1969. It was 4 years later.
Did you just have to Google what year the moon landing was?
I don't even
understand.
Look at her on this one. Everyone else knew.
You
Manny
spent half your free time studying fake landings on the moon and that conspiracy.
It was either 68 or 69 in my head.
That one I want to believe is true. So I haven't done the deep dive.
Allegedly, we went to the moon.
It's like Dumb and Dumber. Sees the newspaper.
Forgive me. I thought it might have been 1965, not 1969. It's the same era. You can't be like, we didn't have the technology then when we were sending people to the moon within the same 4 years.
So you're saying that they should have, like, I don't think MRI escaped for many, many years.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You need multiple surgeries before you find wooden pieces in Jerry Kramer's intestines? How'd they get in there in the first place?
Wouldn't happen in the 21st century is what you're saying.
I'm just saying. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, the most underachieving NFL team of all time.
Mm.
Yes?
I know, I'll pass. I'm just obsessed with this catcher thing now. Catchers are the toughest people in all of sports. I'm convinced myself. Like, those guys will kill you.
I can't go toughest in Chris all
Sale,
of sports.
Chris Sale, by the way.
Now you're getting a little crazy. There's hockey enforcers. Like,
you guys brought up Chris Sale. He is 6'6", 181 pounds.
Yeah, and he took a pair of scissors and cut up everyone's jersey in a locker room. Like, that's insane behavior.
That's 180 pounds of rage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 6'6", 181. That was me in high school. That's tiny.
Right, but he's a professional athlete, so that's going to be all muscle.
Don't blame him because his metabolism is fast.
All muscle.
He's a pitcher. You don't think his arms are strong? His shoulders, his back, his butt, his lower half, everything. You don't think it's just granite?
A strong wind would blow Chris Sale over.
Tarek Skubal, a guy I would not want to face off.
Yeah, he's tough.
Not messing with that guy.
I got a winner on that one.
Also, the pitchers don't want to throw with their pitching hand, throw punches.
I've got a feeling Tarek Skubal has got a good right hook.
So that's
he's not going to use that. Too much money.
The question: Would you?
got me.
Would you at least want to get into a fight with a pitcher or a catcher? I mean, we probably should have done that as the great debate. We didn't even need the underachieving NFL teams.
By the way, Bogues, come on.
What?
Doing the Eagles? We all see what you're doing there.
I'm sorry. The Giants of the last decade didn't count. I couldn't single out one team.
It was the whole year. Yeah. All right. 888-710-4ISN.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
Coming up, we will get to this Johnny Manziel sound. Manziel living quite a life when he was the quarterback of the Browns. Details of that next.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. Great debate Wednesday. Most underachieving NFL team of all time. We're kind of all over the map, so you can nominate yours. And if you want to talk about who's going to underachieve this year, hope it's not my Philadelphia Eagles. We're also debating who's the toughest player on a Major League Baseball team. I say it's a catcher by a mile. Everybody else in the room, as usual, teaming up against me and thinks it's pitchers, which is insane. Pitchers are crazy, but they're skinny, so I'm going with the big guy. Because when you're growing up, the kid, like the chunky, thick kid who can't run, that guy goes and plays catcher, but you don't want to fight that dude.
The great Hambino.
Yeah, you know, Mike Moses was our guy. Like, he was like a house. And of course you're going to line him up as catcher because he's not going to play outfield. So I say catchers are always the toughest guys.
888-710-4ISN. Ed is in Pittsburgh, California. Ed, who do you think? Would you rather get into a fight with a pitcher or a catcher?
By far, I'd rather get into it with the catcher. and the reason why I state it is because, I mean, you guys already mentioned the Robbie Ventura, Nolan Ryan incident.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go back to, I can't remember whether he was still with the Cubs or with the Cardinals, with Lee Smith. Someone charged the mound with him, and he put that size 18 in his chest. And at 6'6", 260 pounds, you guys are arguing back. Debating back and forth who was the toughest. You guys got to understand two things dealing with pitchers.
Yeah.
And it's the dynamic of the trajectory of their arm and their shoulders. So when they're pulling that arm back to throw a fastball, you deliver a 9,500-mile-an-hour fastball. Just imagine that arm coming through as a full piss and connecting to your jaw or your eye socket or something. So the catchers, they WWE. They like to wrestle you down to the ground and hold you. That's all they're made for. And I like to just comment on something that one of the callers called in, the Cowboy fan. Hey, homie, you hit it right on the head with Jerry Jones. You couldn't put it far better. And the comment in regards to sticking with your team, I commend you. I'm around saying I stuck with mine. But I can't say the same for all the Bang Bang Wanna Gang fans out here in San Francisco. Their nation builds off of the distrust of their team, so they find one that was winning that they still think they're going to get that quest of six. But other than that, that's what I have to say, and thank you.
Ed, appreciate it.
I don't know if you've been watching us lately, homie. We suck.
That was Mike and Abilene who called earlier.
Can I tell you another example of how catchers are tougher? You guys have seen Major League.
Yeah.
Documentary.
Jake Taylor. Yeah. Jake Taylor, you're telling me that guy, first of all, he was limping around. That guy was the definition of toughness. Now, I understand that Wild Thing
Rick Vaughn was in the California Penal League.
Yeah, but Rick Vaughn was, at the end of the day, he was a pretty boy. Like,
that was just a sequel.
I think Jake Taylor was like, that's tough as nails. Like,
actually, to be fair, I mean, who really punched Wild Thing in the face? Shock of all shocks, third baseman Roger Dorn.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he fell to Roger Dorn, pretty boy third baseman.
I don't know. Brad is in Oregon. Brad, what do you think? Toughest guy on a baseball diamond is who?
Hey, real quick, thanks for taking my call, guys. Real quick with Jerry Jones, if his lips are moving, he's lying.
Yep.
You know, don't lose any sleep. We're not going to trade Michael. We're all in. This guy couldn't tell the truth if he was in church. And Maggie, you're right. This is going to hang over Dallas for years. Nobody knows how good that how he's going to screw up these draft picks that he's gathering up. And this trade should have been brought back in March when you could have got other teams involved. Dallas could have got more than what they got for Parsons. Real quick, you're talking about pitchers and catchers. You know, guys, there's some pretty good sized first basemen out there that I would not even want to look at the wrong way to get into a fight with. So thanks for taking my call.
Brad, thanks for making it. I had not thought of first baseman as being the toughest guy.
Vaughn.
As far as like the guy you don't want to get in a fight with. Now, Mo Vaughn was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
But he was also kind of felt like he's kind of lazy, right? I don't know.
I think he was just big, thick, and girthy.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to get in a fight with Mo Vaughn.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, but also, I feel like there are some tall, skinny first basemen, too, because you got to stretch to get the ball.
Like a Matt Olson?
Yeah, like, see, to me, like, the pitcher catcher, like basketball
Freddie Freeman?
Like, know who are not good fighters? Like, 6'8 basketball players. Like,
go ahead.
What? Charles Oakley was...
hold on.
You bring up Charles Oakley. Perfect. Like,
yes.
Yeah, like,
stop proving me wrong, EJ.
Yeah, but, like, generally, basketball players are tall and skinny, and they're big targets, and they have to take long swings, like... Generally, be like, you guys have been in basketball fights on pickup courts. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like, big guys are not super scary in fights because they're so long. Like, this makes no sense to you people. You bring up Charles Oakley.
It makes no sense because it doesn't make sense.
I mean, the average basketball player is tall and skinny. Does that make sense to you, Bogus? Can your brain wrap around that fact?
Aren't most enforcers in the NBA the power forwards? Like, I feel like those are, like, that's a nice 6'8 wheelhouse.
Xavier McDaniels, noted wimp.
Like, crazy person. I don't know. I feel like... Maybe you're talking about
NBA guys.
Maybe
can fight.
Seven footers, like, or 6'11 guys. I don't know. Kevin Durant, like he's like a tall, skinny guy.
Yeah, like basketball players are tall and skinny with long arms, like pitchers. Like catchers are short and stout. Like it's like Joe Frazier going up against.
So in the '80s, would you have spent other times saying how much you miss NBA basketball when they were basically rogue criminals. Bill Laimbeer, Dennis Rodman, those guys are skinny wimps that are not fighters now, but you miss them fighting.
What?
You love when they fall in the NBA. You love when they fall in the NBA. Just like they're not fighters. Kevin McHale's a fighter.
I didn't say I loved it. I'm just saying, like, generally, yeah, but they're all kind of like, they're kind of weak, the NBA fights. Except for the Rudy Tom Jarvis. Like, they're all like,
you think Bill's all
those 80s, 90s, those 80s, 90s fights were crazy.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there are tougher guys.
They were borderline criminal acts, and you more than once said how much you miss it. You wish it was still like, and now you're saying that there were nothing.
Yeah, I generally will take that. I think there are other sports, like football players are much tougher than basketball players.
Of course, sure. An offensive lineman is tougher than an NBA player, generally speaking, probably true, yes. But there are also strong, physical, non-wimpy, big NBA players.
The 80s and 90s NBA fights are just as brutal as the Major League Baseball benches clearing fights.
Mm.
I mean, Charles Barkley punching Larry Bird while Dr. J is holding his neck. I mean, like, these guys.
That fight was a nothing. I actually
did. Robert Parrish go into the stands?
The one where Larry and Dr. J? No, that was not like a brutal fight. That was a lot of posturing.
Didn't Ron Artest go into the stands and punch dudes?
No, didn't happen.
Oh, okay.
That was a nothing burger, too.
You guys have seen the video of the Larry Bird, Dr. J preseason fight. That was not like, that was not Rudy T. Like,
I know, but you're getting caught up in one moment where it was still, guys were fighting. I mean, Barkley was fighting.
Yeah, but basketball fights are a lot of hubbub and focus. They rarely, in the real world, they rarely result like.
I think that's post the Malice in the Palace.
I'm going to hell.
I mean, I'm thinking about the Suns and Knicks. That was benches clearing and Greg Anthony in a Hawaiian shirt chasing around Kevin Johnson. Those were fights.
All right.
I don't know.
You don't think they were real fights back in the 80s and 90s, Pearl?
Yeah, they were. But generally, though, I don't think like NBA guys are known as like, it's not like the. They're not as good fighters. My point was, like, basically, it's a boxing thing. When, you know, you want to get down. You want to, like, you know, like Canelo Alvarez. You want to come up and...
The live stream right now is just too good. YouTube.com.
Like,
Pearl of
Every Charles
like
Oakley.
Square up. Yeah.
For every Charles Oakley, there's, like, a Manute Bol. So there's, like, a lot of tall, skinny basketball players who can't bench more than 150 pounds. Now, trust me, because I was that guy. There's, like, do you think Kevin McHale was, like, a good fighter? Do you know how long it takes to get that 7-foot right arm to deliver to the other body?
Well, not Kevin Durant. He's like the skinniest guy in the league.
Kevin McHale, but yeah.
Oh, sorry, you said McHale. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus has the latest headlines. What's up?
Welcome to Mike Tomlin's season. It is time once again to hear the Steelers head coach, as only he can, break down opponents or his own roster. Pittsburgh's first real game this season against Justin Fields and the Jets on Sunday.
You can't talk about the run game without talking about Justin's physical abilities in that area and the challenges that it may present to us. Certainly, he didn't do a lot of running by design and so forth in the preseason, but it's reasonable to expect there to be some design running game.
In-house.
Mike T is the man.
Mike T said yesterday Cam Hayward should play week one after missing some practices and some preseason games while angling for a new contract.
Cam doesn't play a lot in team development over the last several years. My job is to get him in and out of Latrobe, and I've done my job. And so there are no reservations about his participation or his readiness. I'm sure he's chopping at the bit.
Hope he coaches forever.
Is Mike Tomlin the original ChatGPT? He talks like artificial intelligence.
Mike T is the man.
Like, the people over at Microsoft were just like, what's this missing? It's like, we need a more Tomlin into our algorithm or whatever. I don't know.
The Dallas Cowboys, as we know, don't have Micah Parsons anymore,
Michael.
But that will allow them to spend on other key players, according to Jerry Jones. Enter fullback Hunter Luepke.
Yeah.
He just signed a 2-year extension that guarantees him $5 million.
I love fullbacks.
That guy is a baller.
I'm sure he's super tough. I'm sure he could break Kevin McHale in half.
Dude, Hunter Luepke, he could beat up anybody. That guy's a human fire hydrant. There's
fullbacks,
no way he loses the
fullbacks
fight.
Against catchers. Who's tougher? Who's tougher?
The poll question.
Catcher is the fullback of baseball.
The question.
Thank
that
you, Manny.
Nobody in America is asking today except for us.
I see, like, Hunter Luepke is more of an H-back, I think.
Which means what in the fighting spectrum?
It just reminds me.
More of a welterweight.
It just reminds me of the ultimate H-back, Chris Cooley, and that Maggie and I have a long history with him. So that's a...
Yeah, not for
that
today.
Is a story that is not for air.
No.
I've heard that story.
We're going right
just when it couldn't get more annoying. He goes, I got a great story that I can't tell you.
It's actually my story, and I still can't say it.
That's our story.
We still can't say it, which I know is a bad tease for the audience. I'm a woman now.
Maybe we'll open some of that Jack Daniels bogus.
I was going to say, this is not going where I want it to go at all. Thanks, Pearl, for nada. 8-7-10-4-Eisen.
Oh my God, I'm sorry.
You know, I'm going to say it now because I'm afraid of what people might think it is because of how you said it. Chris Cooley once came up to me at the draft and wanted to set me up with his brother. That's it. That's the whole story. I was engaged at the time. Never happened. It was not. I have to say it because the imagination would have gone wild.
That is your story because I actually didn't even know that happened.
Oh. There's another story?
What's your story?
I don't even want to know, the story I have.
Chris Cooley was chatting you up. I didn't realize his brother was the person.
Yes.
I remember that.
That's it. That's the bad story.
I thought it was Chris Cooley
like
himself.
I was engaged. I think I had my wedding ring on. She's a baddie.
Okay. Did not remember it as his brother because then guys.
Slinging around.
Yeah, more. I was sitting at the table, right? Yeah. So I just want to say I was part of the story, right? It's our story. Does everyone agree with that? But Chris Cooley, by the way.
Did you offer up a sibling to Chris Cooley?
Chris Cooley, ironically.
Sister breaks chicken necks with her bare hands.
Yeah, ironically, me and Maggie were sitting there immediately evaluated, like, are they together? And it was very clear. Like, I think Chris Cooley was looking at me. You see, I'm like, why is Chris Cooley staring at me? And then I realized that he wanted to suss out the situation.
Oh.
Yeah, to make sure that you were available. You had a ring on at the time?
I think so. I want to know what's going on.
Were you guys strangers?
Yeah.
Yes.
He just came over and was like, you look nice. My brother would like you?
No. I think you got to give him a D. Came over, sat down with Prof and I, started chatting us up, and then he said, my brother's over here. You know, I said, oh, sorry, I'm engaged or whatever.
Damn.
I said. And that was it. It's over. That was it.
That's a pretty good story. It's not a terrible story.
It's a horrible story.
No, it's not horrible. No.
That's a fun, actually not, there's nothing inflammatory there.
Well, that's
come
why
over
I had to
here. I love you. And so Cooley slowly walked away.
It. So people Maggie, didn't fill the gaps in. Sorry, it was something that was more salacious than it meant to be.
Wait. You think there's a story
Manny,
with...
stop.
I kept saying it's our story. How salacious do you think people were getting with that story?
A little too much nipple.
I'm sure somebody in the chat got a little carried away.
That me, Maggie, and Chris Cooley had some salacious story? The odds of that happening are 0.0.
You think Drunkle Sam kept it PG?
Congrats.
I think you should be flattered. It was a very nice moment, actually. I mean, Chris Cooley was incredibly complimentary of our girl.
Except
here.
He didn't want her.
I didn't remember it that way. I forgot there was a brother.
I got my non-NFL tight end brother over there.
I see a lot of panic.
My brother, Ed Cooley, by the way. My brother, Ed Cooley.
He's a basketball coach.
And he's like 70.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Whoa, now you're too good for Providence ages, coach Ed Cooley?
He's
is that how it's going?
30 years older than me.
He's Georgetown head coach Ed Cooley. Yeah. And Providence chants about his misdeeds when he goes back there. Be careful.
And I have a feeling he's not related to Chris. I don't know.
All right, let's go to break quickly. Coming up next, we actually have a new segment that we're going to debut that I now hope goes really well.
Coolier than you.
Lovely. Sorry, Chris, if you're listening. I don't know how this escalated so quickly. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, M&P. Okay, we have a new segment in honor of week one of college football, Pearl, in the books.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling it our big man on campus, the BMOC, the big moment on campus, whatever. The one thing we want to highlight from the week that was.
Yeah, let's call it the big moment on campus.
Okay, big moment on campus, because it doesn't have to be a man. That's a good point. Why am I stuck in my patriarchal ways? Okay, so here we go. The big moment on campus for week one of college football season. This is how the Big Ten Network opened up their broadcast of Oregon and Montana State.
Gets ready to bring the Ducks towards Austin.
All right, heard a little bit of a pause there. Here's the crowd reacting to what they saw on the field. Oh no, What was that? The Oregon Duck mascot, Pearl, losing the head of the mascot outfit. And instead of going to pick up the head and put the Donald Duck back on his head, he ran to the tunnel and left the head so that another person on the cheer squad or what have you picked it up and ran away with it. It was frightening and
kids
unsettling.
Were terrified. It's the worst nightmare when a mascot loses his head. You know, obviously this happens at Disney World. It's a tragedy.
Oh, that's people not get fired. Yeah,
people get fired. But this was akin to that. That was, I mean, a bit of visual, but it was hysterical.
Well, I wonder if that's part of the training. Right? Is the training, hey, if the worst thing happens, just run for the nearest exit? Why is it the training grab the duck head and put it back on yourself like nothing ever happened? I didn't understand it. Anyway, that made the cut of the big moment on campus.
I mean, it beat out some heavy hitters, too. Ryan Day's
happy right now.
He's unhappy? Okay.
Oh, well, I was going to say Ryan Day's possibly fake nipple ring was a huge moment.
That was a big moment.
But forget the fact that they beat Texas. Does he have a nipple ring?
That one less so, but the possibility that it's fake means they care. What did you want, EJ?
I mean, we saw one of the greatest catches in college football history in week one from my Miami Hurricanes. I understand this is your big moment on campus. How is CJ Daniels not the big moment on campus? What the hell happened?
Under pressure, off his back foot, up for grabs, and caught! CJ Daniels, a tremendous one-handed catch!
I mean, we're going to see a million of those, EJ. Yeah. Are we going to see the duck mascot lose his mascot head and then run for the tunnel like there's a fire drill? No, we're not.
I mean, he lost his head in 2023 when he was imitating Dion. He lost his head. He had the sunglasses on, the hat, and he lost his head, and he ran back in there when it happened then. Second time this duck is losing his head.
Well, we see one-handed catches all the time, too. You go. Big moment on campus. Oregon Duck mascot loses the head.
You know who gets a shout-out to? I think it's a different guy, but Lee Corso going 6-for-6 on picks at his final game day. That was pretty cool. I think big moment on campus is like a moment, but I think he deserves a shout-out. I can't believe I said if I went 6-for-6 on my last show, I would just come back next week. You got to ride that hot streak, right? Like, he's got to show up another game day.
You can't
go 6-for-6 and just walk off John Elway style. That was an incredible achievement. Maybe a little luck. Of course, he was going to pick Florida State as alma mater. That was cool, too.
Do you think he was going to, crash the set and push McAfee off and be like, I'm back to make
my pick? We'll see. They're in Norman, Oklahoma on Saturday. Again, if you're 6-for-6 and you're feeling it this season, if he's got a real handle, I don't care how old you are, you got to come back.
My question is, what do you guys think happened to the duck after he ran up the tunnel? Did he start to break down? Did he start to cry immediately? That's week one. Who knows how long he's been doing this, but it's week one of the 2025 season. And, you know, first you're running out to the field for the first time and your head falls off. He had to ran up the, probably didn't even make it back to the locker room. It was in the tunnel, just quack, 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 quack.
Just sad quack. Quack, just right quack, to the car quack, quack. In the duck suit and just drive away.
Sad quack.
I always quack, wonder if quack, there's quack. A backup guy.
Like, on week one? They got a backup in week one?
Maybe it's like North Carolina to go away from Gio Lopez and bring in Max Johnson. I don't know. You need a veteran.
Soft tissue injury during training camp? Couldn't get ready for week one?
I felt bad for the duck.
I think he was just doing his marching orders. You lose the head, you got to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, but it's still embarrassing.
It was also a long sprint. It was like 20 yards. Like, it took him forever to get into the tunnel. Yeah. We saw his head and everything.
Not blazing 4 or 5 speed.
You run in a duck suit like that.
No, I'm good.
More like a waddle.
Quack, 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 quack.
All right, we do have Johnny Manziel sound to get to you, and Perloff and I are making some big predictions for the upcoming season.